talking about Fillmore Street. This is TobielPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight in sunny San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 13th of October, 2016. On this date, in 54 AD, Roman Emperor Claudius dies from poisoning under mysterious circumstances, meaning he was poisoned, and is succeeded by his son Nero. 1845, voters in Texas approved by referendum a new constitution that makes the Republic of Texas a part of the United States. 1921, the Soviet republics of Russia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia signed the Treaty of Kars with Turkey. The treaty establishes the current borders between Turkey and the South Caucasus countries. 1923, Ankara becomes the capital of the newly reformed Republic of Turkey, replacing Istanbul. 1943, Italy's new government flips sides, declares war against Nazi Germany. 1958, Paddington Bear appears for the first time in a book titled A Bear Called Paddington. 1990, from the Plus Change file, Syrian forces launch an attack on the free areas of Lebanon, removing General Michel Aoun from the presidential palace and setting up Lebanon as more or less a Syrian colony. 2010, the Chilean miners' crisis comes to an end when all 33 miners arrive safely on the surface after being trapped underground for 69 days. Birthdays are Lenny Bruce, Margaret Thatcher, Paul Simon, Nancy Kerrigan, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Ian Thorpe. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast was written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tobielpod.com or send us an email at tobielpod@gmail.com. The country voted in parliamentary elections on the 8th of October. The big news is that Otsneba won big. They got 49% of the popular vote and are expected to get 44 of the 77 seats that will be allocated to the party list candidates. The 73 majoritarian races aren't finished yet. 50 out of the 73 districts will have runoffs because no candidate won a clear majority on Saturday. But Otsneba is expected to get a big majority of those as well, with their candidates running in 49 of the runoffs. They won all 23 of the majoritarian districts that were decided on the 8th of October. They'll be able to form a government without relying on coalition partners, and they may even get the 113 seats necessary for a constitutional majority, which would allow them to amend the Constitution without requiring cooperation from other parties. Already on Monday, they mentioned two constitutional amendments that they want the new parliament to make. One would have the office of president be elected by parliament rather than by a popular vote, since Bidzina's got an issue with Mark Velashvili, even though he's the most popular politician in the country. And the other constitutional amendment would define marriage as a union between one man and one woman for the purpose of creating a family, very popular with the Kremlin and their cronies. The National Movement came in second with 27% of the vote. They'll get 27 seats plus whatever they win in the majoritarian districts. They're disputing the results, saying the Central Elections Commission manipulated the process to give Otsneba an advantage. They rallied outside the Election Commission's office on the 9th of October. The party was considering boycotting the second round of elections in majoritarian districts and refusing to sit in the upcoming parliament. Misha said that their participation would only legitimize the election results. However, they decided to participate after all. Party leader Datta Bakradze said that participating is important for respecting the wishes of their voters and preventing Georgia from turning into a single-party country with Otsneba making all of the decisions. The other big story is the Alliance of Patriots getting into parliament with 5.01% of the vote, enough to give them six seats. It took the Election Commission until late Monday to announce the results. Before that, media sources reported both that they had made it into parliament and that they had not made it into parliament. The parties led by Irma Inashvili, David Tarhan Muravi, and Soso Manjavidze, they launched in 2012 out of the Resistance Movement, a group that opposes the National Movement back when they were running the country. Manjavidze is a strong advocate for amending the Constitution to define marriages between a man and a woman. He was one of the sponsors of the referendum that President Mark Velashvili vetoed back in August. The party promotes a version of Georgian nationalism that's heavy on Orthodox Christianity and ethnic homogeneity of the Georgian sort, precisely in line with Kremlin ideology. In the past, Inashvili has been critical of both the EU and NATO. She softened her stance a bit, but still thinks NATO membership is unrealistic and a waste of time. Not such a bad thing that they're in parliament in the 1999 elections. The ballot box stuffing by the Citizens Union Party. I mean, both sides stuff. It was then Agurdzineba or Revival based in Ajara was stuffing like crazy in Ajara. In the rest of the country, there was also lots of ballot box stuffing, particularly in the ethnic Azeri areas. But all of that stuffing prevented the laborists from getting into parliament. There was a higher 7% threshold at that time. And the laborists actually did get 7% of the legitimate votes that were cast. They were on the outside, and that was not fair. And it's, you know, as LBJ says, it's better to have them inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. Republican Party and Free Democrats both missed the 5% threshold to get their party list candidates into parliament, as well as, of course, the Pinecones or Girchi. The Republicans got less than 2% of the vote. Former Parliament Speaker Datta Usupashvili also lost his majoritarian race in Sabartalo, so he won't be in parliament, nor will former Defense Minister Tinuko Khidashely. Free Democrats got 4.6% of the vote. Following that result, member Alexei Petriashvili announced he was leaving the party. Former defense minister and party leader Irakli Alassania was set to face off against the Otsneba candidate Yoseb Makarakhidze in the second round of voting in Gori's majoritarian district, but announced he's dropping out of the race and temporarily quitting politics altogether. Most annoyingly, saying he is temporarily quitting politics, meaning he's taking a vacation because he finds that personally convenient for himself. That started a string of resignations. Zura Bashidze, Victor Dolidze, Dato Onuprashvili, Irakli Chikovani, and Giyad Sagareishvili all announced that they were quitting the party too. All were members of the last parliament and all lost their elections to get into the new one. Only one Free Democrat is still standing in the majoritarian race, and that's Temur Gaprindashvili, who's facing an Otsneba candidate in Chiatura. The party's executive secretary said that they have every intention of winning that district and that they intend to stand in local elections in 2017. They're going to reorganize all of their regional and city party organizations. That would make sense. Media reported that Abashidze and some other ex-Free Democrats met with the prime minister about joining Otsneba. Abashidze said that's false, but he won't rule anything out except for joining the national movement. President Mark Velashvili's office gave a statement saying it's a shame the Republicans and Free Democrats didn't get in and that they hoped for a more multi-party parliament. Essentially, this is a failure of all of the opposition parties to get together, which is a failure of the leadership of those parties more than anything else. In other election news, Pata Burchiladze's State for the People bloc failed to pass the 5% threshold. So did the Burchiladze Democrats and every other party except for Otsneba, the National Movement, and the Alliance of Patriots. Election observers were generally positive about the process, although there were some ugly incidents. Polling station in the village of Jikashkadi near Zugdidi was broken into and ballot boxes were smashed. An international observer was also assaulted. A man was arrested for organizing the unrest. He'll be charged with causing violence and making threats during the electoral process. Another incident happened in Barnauli where different groups clashed with police at the polling station. It resulted in windows being smashed, several police officers being injured, including Barnauli's chief of police. The Interior Ministry said supporters of the National Movement and State of the People for the People attacked the station in an attempt to steal the ballot box. The Election Commission later said the ballot box was safe and sound the entire time. Six people have been arrested so far for interfering with the work of the Election Commission and committing violence at the polling station. All six are National Movement activists, and the party says that they had nothing to do with the incident. The ministry is also trying to identify and detain others that were involved in the incident. Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, said the ballot counting process was not good, not because of falsification, but because many counters didn't follow procedures. In many of their observations, unauthorized people participated in counting, and the process was disrupted in about 5% of cases. U.S. Embassy congratulated Georgia on a fair and well-administered election, but condemned the isolated acts of violence in Zugdidi and Barnauli, and called for a thorough investigation. U.S. Ambassador Ian Kelly has also congratulated the National Movement for running a good campaign. After these incidents and irregularities, the Election Commission announced that repeat voting will be held at four polling stations, including the ones in Barnauli and Zugdidi that were attacked on Saturday. They haven't set a date yet, but the 23rd of October is the final date that any vote can take place. Turnout was only 52%, the lowest of any parliamentary election since Georgia became independent. 60% of eligible people voted in 2012. 20 political parties qualified for state funding following the election results. The funding amounts to 300,000 lari and is provided to every party that crosses the 3% barrier in parliamentary elections. That doubles for parties that get 6%. Parties that can be part of a bloc when they pass the barrier. Parties can be part of a bloc when they pass the barrier. Previously, 11 parties qualified. The 11th of October was International Day of the Girl Child. The UN released a report on marriages involving underage girls, finding that worldwide a girl under the age of 15 is forced into marriage every 7 seconds. Georgia was 62nd in the report's rankings for treatment of girls, coming ahead of Azerbaijan, but behind Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Kazakhstan. In travel to and from Georgia, Kyrgyz President Almazbek Atambayevat was in Tbilisi this week meeting with the president. They discussed security, economics, and education, and they signed an agreement on double taxation. The USS Mount Whitney, flagship of the U.S. 6th Fleet, made a port visit to Batumi this week. It's the fourth time the ship has visited in Georgia. It delivered humanitarian aid shortly after the August War in September 2008, by the way. David Bakradze is the new ambassador of the United States in Washington, replacing Archil Gegashidze. He'd previously been minister for Euro-Atlantic integration since 2014 and should not be confused with the national movement leader Dato Bakradze. Georgian delegation at the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly abstained from voting on two resolutions in favor of Ukraine. Delegation member Manana Kobakhidze said it was because they arrived in Strasbourg right after Georgia's parliamentary elections and had no intention of voting on anything, and they are in no way hostile to Ukraine. It was a bit of a pro forma vote, and so I think that her comments in that regard are not real, and that it had more to do with signaling than anything else. Following up on the Centerpoint construction scandal, Gugar Rcheilishvili, son of Vakhtang Rcheilishvili of the Socialist Party, Guka is chairman of the company, and Irakli Mindeli, former head of the Ajara branch of the company, were sentenced to pretrial detention. They'll go on trial for defrauding customers over several years. They took money to build houses and apartments. They didn't build them, saying that they were too indebted to meet their obligations. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, issued a report in 2012 that referred to the whole thing as a Ponzi scheme. There was a clash between Otsneba and the National Movement supporters on Tuesday night. The Vazi Subani district of Tbilisi, a group of people started fighting outside the supermarket near the office of Irakli Abusuridze, majoritarian candidate for Otsneba. Otsneba Executive Secretary Irakli Kobakhidze said it started when National Movement supporters threw rocks at Abusuridze's office. Sergei Kapanadze of the National Movement responded that his party supporters were assaulted inside the supermarket and were seriously outnumbered. The Interior Ministry is investigating. A mine worker died in Tebuli in western Georgia. He apparently suffocated from gas poisoning. Some other workers there say the mine is full of methane and carbon dioxide, and they're suspicious that the company's managers knew about it, but sent the workers in anyway. The Interior Ministry has launched an investigation under Article 240 of the Criminal Code, which covers security violations that result in death. After the tragedy, Ombudsman Uchinano Ashvili called on the government to reintroduce the labor inspection regulations that were canceled by the National Movement in 2006. Mayor Dato Narmania released Tbilisi's preliminary 2017 budget. The city will spend 800 million lari for the year. The stated priorities include building new kindergartens, green spaces, and other infrastructure projects, and improving roads. Geostat published data on external trade through the first 9 months of the year. Total merchandise trade is up 24% from 1 year. Imports are up 34%, and exports are down 8%. Much of the increase is from imports of medication for hepatitis C. Government now owns the Poti Free Industrial Zone, which has been managed for the past seven years, by the United Arab Emirates-based company Rakia. The government now owns 85% of the zone and will get the remaining 15% after legal proceedings are finished. Rakia recently decided to put out of the decided to pull out of the investment it had handed back to the government. The Ministry of Economy announced that they're already negotiating with a new investor to take over the free industrial zone. The real estate development company Redco announced plans to build Radisson and Sheraton hotels in Gudauri. They plan to start construction next month and have everything finished within 5 years. Plans are drafted by EcoSign, a Canadian company, and they involve building 26 new buildings at a total cost of $70 million. Malone Finance Limited, a subsidiary of the Georgian Co-Investment Fund, sold off 2 million of its shares in TBC Bank, the TBC Bank Group. The shares sold at 12.4 British pounds each. Fashion bag manufacturer Gheperini plans to expand into producing shoes. They will produce some samples later this year, and if they sell well enough, they'll produce larger quantities. They currently produce bags that sell for between 23 and 360 lari and have stores in Georgia and Russia. The plastic manufacturer Nova LLC announced plans to expand its operation. It will spend about $1.2 million to launch the production of a number of plastic goods. They currently specialize in making water containers and roofing materials. They originally launched under the Produce in Georgia program. JSC EnergoPro invested 20,000 lari into improved electricity supply infrastructure in Gudauri. They updated the grid so supply will be more stable during the tourist season. EnergoPro also put on a training program for teachers at vocational schools. They got training in low-voltage electrical systems. German financial services company Clearstream will enter the Georgian market for the first time. They're partnering with a national bank and will make it easier for foreign investors to buy Georgian government bonds. In wine news, Georgia exported 32,421,418 bottles of wine during the first 9 months of 2016, a 35% increase from the same time last year. That's from the Agriculture Ministry, who said the total wine export revenue was $74.6 million, 12% more than this point last year. The biggest increases were to China, Ukraine, Belarus, UK, Poland, and Estonia. Chinese importer Beijing Charming Grand International Trading Company agreed to import 1 million bottles of wine and brandy over the next 12 months. They signed the deal with Cajetian Traditional Winemaking to buy the beverages from them. New runway at Ambra Lauri in Racha is operational. It's 1,100 meters long, can service small planes carrying about 20 passengers. Workers are still building a terminal, though. Flights from Tbilisi to Ambra Lauri will take about 1 hour. The new German-made blue buses are operating in Tbilisi. So far, they are only on the 61 line. The others are still being serviced by the old yellow buses. The new Turtle Lake Ropeway launched on the 12th of October. It can handle up to 2,000 people a day traveling between Turtle Lake and Chavchavadze Avenue. It takes 6 minutes each way, and tickets cost 1 lari. 3 new ski lifts are being built in Gudauri for the upcoming winter season. That will make 10 total. Doug Ball, who's director of the United States Agency for International Development's mission in Georgia, visited a playground in Didi-Dihomi this week that was funded through the Orbeliani.net program. Orbeliani helps active citizens with cool ideas apply directly, get something paid for, rather than going through the grant mechanism. Check out Orbeliani.net for more information. Disclosure, I, Mark Mullen, am the organization's chair. Nazi Paikidze, a Georgian-American chess champion, is refusing to participate in the Women's World Chess Championship in Iran next February because all players will be required to wear hijabs. She believes that making the hijab mandatory oppresses women. Some others, including Iranian chess grandmaster Mitra Hajizipur, have called on her to participate anyway because she can help promote chess as a way for women to empower themselves. The meme this week is a much-circulated photo of a woman in a wedding dress casting her vote on the 8th of October. The photo was taken by Ketevan Kardava. Stuff to read. Michael Cicere writes for Foreign Affairs about the situation in Georgia going into the elections. He discusses the large number of options that voters had, a good sign for the country's democratic development. Agenda publishes an interactive electoral map with detailed results from every district in Georgia. Transparency International Georgia publishes its assessment of the election process. They observed 300 precincts around the country, finding that things went smoothly, except in Barnaulli and near Zugdidi. They observed 80 procedural violations, though, and filed 10 complaints. Lincoln Mitchell publishes his post-election analysis. He says Otsneva's victory came because of soft support from voters, people who weren't particularly enthusiastic, but looked around and decided that 4 more years of Otsneva was better than bringing the national movement back or handing the reins to somebody else. He also says the national movement performed better than expected or deserved. Luis Navarro recaps the election results from the Foreign Policy Institute. He discusses some of the changes that Otsneva might introduce if they get a constitutional majority. For example, they've discussed replacing the mixed system of proportional voting and majoritarian districts with proportional-only system. Georgi Lomsadze profiles the Alliance of Patriots for Eurasianet. He calls them a Russian-tolerant party, not a pro-Russian party. But party leader Irma Inashvili is a vocal opponent of the EU and NATO integration processes. They got 6 seats in parliament, not enough to affect legislation, but enough to spread their message, which is a conservative nationalist one. He puts some of the blame on the Free Democrats and Republicans, who could have counterbalanced the Patriots if only they had worked together to pass the 5% threshold. New York Times Style magazine profiles Tbilisi avant-garde interior designers. They focus on Nata Janberidze and Keti Toloraya, who share a studio in Old Tbilisi. They've created an eclectic style that combines traditional Georgian styles with Roman, Persian, Ottoman, Russian, and Soviet influences. The Independent interviews Georgia-born, London-based singer Keti Melua, who has her new album out this week. Her album is called In Winter. She talks about the mental breakdown she had in 2010, saying that in the long run it helped her focus less on ego and more on making music. Our Santa Monica correspondent tipped us off about a piece in Forbes and is running about Georgia's economy over the past 4 years. 500,000 people have moved up past the national poverty line, and it's growing on average 5% per year since 1991. That's including the bad years of the 90s. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 22.3, which is the obesity rate among Georgian women, according to a report by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. The rate for men is 16.3%. Georgia is one of the less obese post-Soviet countries. Lithuania is the most obese for both men and women. Tajikistan is the least. Women are more likely to be obese than Georgian men, with a bigger spread between the sexes than in most countries. If you are a U.S. citizen, register to vote, check your registration, request your ballot, and personally call anybody you know from Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or North Carolina to check on their voter registration status. Those living in Georgia can easily register and mail a completed ballot. Check out vote.org for more information. Encourage your friends and relatives living outside the U.S. to vote. Americans abroad is the single largest demographic in the United States, the fastest growing demographic of U.S. voters in the United States, the only one that is growing faster than Hispanics. The website of the U.S. Embassy in Georgia also has a lot of good information and a call by the ambassador to make sure that you vote. Some U.S. citizens in Tbilisi are starting a Democrats Abroad group. They need your help. Any interested U.S. citizens to come to their General Assembly. That could mean running yourself for one of the offices or simply voting. The 2 co-chair positions are available, as well as treasurer and secretary. For more information, send an email to DemsAbroadGeorgia, all written together. That's DemsAbroadGeorgia@gmail.com. Tbili Soba is this weekend, the 2-day festival invented by Shevardnadze. That replaces the previous version of Mardi Gras, which was called Hispanahoba. The 2-day celebration celebrates the city's history and culture, and has been going on since 1979. There will be outdoor concerts with traditional music, dancing, flea markets, and other cultural events. Most of the action happens around Old City and the Rije Park. Synodoc Tbilisi launches on the 21st of October. We said before that it was on the 10th. We were wrong. Actually, that's when the tickets went on sale, so they're on sale now. Sorry about that. Films will begin screening on the 21st until the 25th of October. Fadi Asli, businessman who's been active in the Caucasus and living in Georgia for decades, recently wrote a book called Life with Scorpions. It tells about his business adventures in the Caucasus, Central Asia, and Middle East. He's presenting the book at Prospero's on Rustavelli Avenue on the 20th of October. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2012, from London, this is Paul Oakenfold and the Shifty Shell Shock with Starry-Eyed Surprise.
With my friends, dancing the night away, it's like the party never ends. Then again, we don't want it to stop, cause tonight's the night. It goes sweatbox, laser beam, flashing lights. Wild cards, men from Mars, dressed in stars and stripes. Hectic, electric, ladies of the evening, drinking booze and mingling. Mashing to the music, I could do anything. Freaky deaky stars, speckles and pink butterflies. And life is nice, so nice. I walk into a club and I found paradise. I'm seeing stars, I can't believe my eyes. I'm seeing stars. Oh my, starry eyes, surprise. Sundown to sunrise, dance all night. We gonna dance all night to this DJ. I sugar dance all night to this DJ. Oh my, starry eyes, surprise. Sundown to sunrise, dance all night. We gonna dance all night to this DJ. I sugar dance all night to this DJ. Dance all night to this DJ. I love a dance all night to this DJ. On the trails we blaze, the walls are closing in, but that's okay, cause I've been waiting all week to feel this way, and it feels so good, I'm on top of the world, the coolest kid in the neighborhood, so let me be a star for one night, that's right, sweatbox, laser beam, flashing lights, you got to feel the rush, feel the spice of life, thug life, 50 rolls of dice, they got surprise eyes in, mesmerizing, the minds are sick ones, cause what we are is victims of fun, come on, come on, the fun has just begun, come on, the fun has just begun. Surprise, sundown to sunrise, dance all night, we gonna dance all night.